Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote Liberty Media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriot business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Yo. Hear me okay? All right. All right, buddy. Thank you so much. Here we are, friends. We are glad to be with you on Lightspeed. Steve Starr's here. And, you know, this is going to be good because we're working with some new technology and all kinds of things happening today. Glad to be making things happen. You know, you folks out there are really good to be with, and of course we always have our little technical glitches every now and then, but, some good things are happening. Dave should be joining us, but he is, you know, well, he's on assignment. he does have a day job, you know, so, but it's really good to have you on the program and on the network. A lot of interesting news that I was looking at today and, you know, trying to get away a little bit from the political stuff, which has just kind of gotten too heavy for almost everybody, even including me. But I don't know if you've seen this yet, but there's some interesting news out now from the mainstream, of course. And this is that Vladimir Putin has ordered Russian military to pull out from Syria. And this, of course, is coming from Reuters. Now, this is not going to be anything drastic, friends, before we, you know, really get started on thinking, oh, you know, everybody's freaking out about this. But remember, Syria is very close to Russia, and, you know, it's kind of like just going next door to them. But the point is simply this, that from the story from Reuters, posted on NBC News right now, breaking news, of course, Russian President Vladimir Putin said on Monday he was instructing his armed forces to start pulling out of Syria over 5 months after he ordered the launch of a military operation that shored up his ally, Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. Okay, so it's been about 5 months since they actually moved in, not very long that they were actually on the ground there. But now Putin says at a meeting at the Kremlin with his defense and foreign ministers, he said the Russian military forces in Syria have largely fulfilled their objectives and ordered an intensification of Russia's diplomatic efforts to broker a peace deal in the country. But the Russian leader signaled Moscow that he would keep a military presence there. He did not give a deadline for the completion of the withdrawal and said Russian forces would stay on the port of Tartus and on the Hmeymim airbase, I guess that's the way it's pronounced, airbase in Syria's Latakia province, okay? Kremlin spokesman Peskov has also said that Putin had telephoned Assad to inform him of the Russian decision. The move was announced on the day the United Nations brokered talks between the warring sides in Syria, and which these talks resumed. Of course, the effective work of our military created the conditions for the start of the peace process, Putin said. And now another quote is, I believe that the task put before the defense ministry and the Russian armed forces has, on the whole, been fulfilled with the participation of the Russian military. The Syrian armed forces, the patriotic Syrian forces, have been able to achieve a fundamental turnaround in the fight against the international terrorism and have taken the initiative to almost, taken the initiative in almost all respects, Putin said. A little confusing here. We kind of, I guess, lost in the translation. But in other words, what he's saying is the Russian military and the Syrian armed forces have pretty much got things under control for now. So therefore, he said, I am ordering the defense minister from tomorrow to start the withdrawal from the main part of our military contingent from the Syrian Arab, Syrian Arab Republic. And there's some more to this, of course, but the reality is they are not leaving their bases that they have right now. They will maintain a base strength there. They're not far away. And I think what this really is basically a signal to the world that Russia is going to try to de-escalate the situation and begin to look at trying to follow through with a peace plan that will work there, knowing very well that they can come right back into the area if necessary. It's kind of like a defensive move on a chessboard. You move your bishops out, you set up a presence, and then you back off to see what your opposition is going to do, being ready to move again if necessary, watching them. And I think it won't be long before the Russians are probably going to be faced with a situation of saying, now, didn't we say we were going to try to keep this a peaceful situation? And lo and behold, what is happening again? I think it's a more of a PR move than a strategic one, friends. I think the idea is to paint up the ISIS funded groups by people like our friends Turkey and Saudi Arabia and some others in the region. It's an attempt to show that they are actually the aggressors. They are not abiding by any peaceful means to ending this conflict, and they are going to continue their rampage of all kinds of very ugly things, like Syrian gassings, like shooting down jet airplanes, like antagonizing people, like going around blowing up all kinds of monuments and statues while they march people around and carry on these executions, some of which are real and some of which are not. The whole thing is going to continue, I think. And this is only a positioning of Russia to try to step back for a minute to let us all see what's going to happen. It's my thinking anyway. And that would be my prediction, that you are not going to see less aggression in the area. As a matter of fact, I think it's going to come back again. And I think the Russians will have to respond again. But at this moment, the issue is that, they're going to begin to withdraw from the area and see how well things hold up and see if it kind of starts to simmer down and settle down. But I have a feeling that it won't be long before the Russians are going to have to come back, this time with a little bit more force and maybe a little bit better direction, knowing now where the enemy's going and the people who are planning this this madness that's been going on over there for, gosh, years. You know, you remember back to at least 2011 that most of the people in the United States contacted their congressmen and representatives and senators and said, we don't want to get entangled in this. And yet we find a lot of ragtag mercenaries that somehow we've ended up funneling all kinds of arms and weapons to these people. Now we have a problem with these folks. They're in real trouble because they are out of control, to say the least. And that we can't control them. And Mr. Putin is backing out to see how well they will come under control, which I don't think is going to happen anytime soon. So that's a interesting story. And I think that's one thing in the headlines that's in the news. Another interesting story by Andy Eckhart, again from NBC News. Germany's alternative for Deutschland posts gains in the regional elections. A lot of you know that German leader Angela Merkel's in trouble. Well, this is a story from Mainz in Germany by Andy Eckhart. It says, German leader Angela Merkel and her mainstream political colleagues woke up to a headache Monday after taking a drubbing. What is a drubbing? I guess it's a clubbing, a drubbing, a snubbing, a bubbing, who knows, a drubbing in the regional elections from a recently formed right-wing anti-immigration party. It's called the Alternative for Deutschland, which means Alternative for Germany, and is commonly known as AfD. Was formed in 2013 and previously held no seats in three state legislatures that held election Sunday. Now, the AfD was able to enter all three parliaments, however, after rocketing to double-digit percentages across the board in Sunday's vote. The three states have a combined population of some 17 million, around a fifth of Germany's total population. So it's not a big movement yet, but it's growing, okay? That's my comment on the story. The whole thing is basically a problem for Merkel and the immigration issue, which we have friends who contact us and keep us in touch with things in Germany. We know they're not very happy about it all. They don't like this situation, and I can't blame them. Anyhow, that is a big part of what's happening over there right now. This immigration issue all across Europe, friends, is a real problem. It's not just in the United States. And as we've said before, David Rockefeller's plan, his plan has always been to break down nationalities, borders, sovereignties, and eventually religions, and create a big ugly stew out of all the human race. In other words, just get all kinds of people all mixed up in all different kinds of places, work against cultures, work against ideologies, work against sovereignties of nations to, you know, take care of themselves. They don't want that. They want to be, have us all just all mixed up, messed up, and relying on an international government to have to appease things and run things, because we, the people, just don't seem to be able to do it. Right? Well, we know better. I think most of you that listen to our network do anyway. It's hard to say how many people out there who don't listen to our network are confused about these kinds of things. But that's the issue. That's the way it works. And that's what we're seeing a lot of it these days. So, you know, this is the kind of thing that's happening. And we're going to be looking at some of these problems, of course, as we progress in this political year. And obviously Merkel's in a lot of trouble. The Germans don't like her. And you're seeing the beginning of a move against everything that's going on there right now. And this is probably going to continue. But anyhow, this is the Lightspeed Show. I'm Steve Starr. It's glad to be with you. Another Monday, huh? Geez, it's going to be a big week, friends. Going to be a big week. There has been a lot of tension, as you know, for over a lot of things recently. And I'm hoping it'll kind of settle down for a little bit. Because there's just a little too much hysteria and I guess what you would call it, just agitation, right? Is that a good word for it? Agitation going on in the air. And it's time to kind of settle down, and maybe Putin's move out of Syria will sort of simmer things a little bit, but I got a feeling that the Russians are going to have to come back, because I don't think it's going to settle down there. And of course, the immigration issue all across Europe, the immigration issue in the United States is a problem as well. It's all over the world, friends. Australia, I have friends in Australia who tell me the same thing. They're just basically trying to run people into other people's lands. And what happens is, when you do that, when you put people under pressure, this is when people divide up in different groups. And when they do that, they become, kind of hardened against other people in this way. It's like what you see happen in prison, okay? When, you know, you put people under pressure, they congregate into groups of blacks or skinheads or whites or Hispanics and things like that. And then there's difficulties among these groups. Normally you get people to get along pretty well. They see eye to eye or work together or see other people as human beings rather than in groups, when they're not under a lot of pressure. But when you create pressure, like they're doing right now, it's much easier to divide people and conquer them by putting them under pressure and trying to get them to assimilate in certain pockets of areas, which you can then orchestrate to attack each other. It happens in prison. You see it all the time. It's the kind of thing that goes on there. You know, if you are not that I've been there, but I know enough of the stories about it. You know, people will tell you that you go in and on the first couple of days, you find out which group you should congregate with a little bit more and eat lunch with, you know, very, very quickly. Because if you don't, you know, you're just going to be wandering around and you're apt to be somebody who one group doesn't like or another group doesn't like. So that's the way it works. And this is kind of the thing that's happening around the world right now with the kinds of pressure. And as they try to close down on a police state on all of us, you're going to see people congregating into these areas. And I fully predict that we're going to see more of this trouble. And I think it's up to us, the kind of people who, you know, are thinking, listening to the alternative, if you like, or we like to call it independent media. Those of us who are out there doing things that are thinking about what's happening here to begin to explain to other people what's going on. And to be on the lookout for it, because it is going to increase. I'm firmly convinced this summer could be very, very dangerous. There's going to be a lot of insightful events. We see them everywhere. And this looks to be something that the scoundrels' last resort goes to when they're having some trouble politically. We know that that's exactly what's happening. Won't get into that too much, but of course we will be covering the news and things like that as they progress. And giving you what I think is a very good analysis for all that. Well, anyhow, the phone lines are open today, and phone number is 800-313-9443. And I'm going to be standing by. Dave will be joining us when he can. I kind of miss Dave. Yeah, I get used to having him along, and then he's gone. And it's not that I don't have a lot to say, but it's good to have somebody here also that kind of weighs in on some of these things. And if you want to give me opinions and, you know, just... give me some things to think about, of course. I love to have a conversant conversation with people. I hate it when folks call in and just, you know, go on and on and on. Sometimes it's the same stuff, friends. I gotta be honest with you. Some of the calls aren't really all that good. But, I do, like hearing from all of you when you've got a point or conversant, dialogue to carry on with me. It's really good to have you folks there. So I'm available and will be. A lot of all kinds of things happening, of course, and there's a number of different topics we can go to. You know, what do you think about the return of money, coins? I like the idea. I like gold and silver particularly, but here's a story from Moneyning, I guess it is. Would you use a dollar coin? This is by Jessica Summerfield. And it's a pretty interesting story. Well, again, they're talking about using coins. And I've been back to the Mint. I don't live too far from the Denver Mint. And I've been there over the years. You know, I've been, you know, school kids, field trips, things like that. Been there and visited. And it's kind of fun. And I like the Mint. It's a neat place to go and see them, watch them make the coins and everything like that. They give you these tours. It's really cool. And they like making their coins. You know, the Denver Mint doesn't, well, it hasn't in a long time made silver and gold coins. It's all, you know, zinc pennies and copper or nickel, iron, copper, whatever it is for the nickels. The dimes are cheap now, the quarters. And they were making the dollar coins. They make a few collector types that really aren't really aren't silver, pure silver coins or anything like that. But they like making these coins, and it's kind of cool because they really enjoy it. It's a craft for them. They want to do this, and they're artisans. They really are in many ways. They make some very, very nice coins. Well, recently Congress introduced a bill that would push for a dollar coin to replace the dollar bill. The chief argument for switching to coin dollars is durability of the coins versus paper. There's no question about that. That's my comment. But back to the story. Since dollars are heavily used, they don't last as long as other denominations of paper money. The average lifespan of a dollar bill is only a little over 4 years. Coins, on the other hand, have a lifespan of roughly 30 years. Consequently, the switch to the dollar coins is in currency would mean lower production costs for the Treasury. Now, the pros and cons of dollar coins, okay? This step, although initially increasing the U.S. Treasury's currency production costs from 5 to 18 cents per dollar, 5 to 18 cents per dollar, would save the Treasury and taxpayers over $13 million in the next 30 years. Okay, since the switch seems like a win-win proposal, why hasn't it already been done? Well, wait a minute. My comment here. Didn't we used to have a lot of silver dollars and gold dollars and silver quarters and half dollars and stuff? And we don't use them much anymore, right? Well, why hasn't it been done already? Well, while there are dollar coins in circulation, they're not widely used. The silver Susan B. Anthony dollar coin released in the 70s didn't stick. I like those. I have a few of them. As a matter of fact, the collector's items. That's my comment again, but back to the story. And neither did the gold. They said gold. Sacagawea dollar coin released in 2000. I like those too. They didn't have much gold in them, just a tiny, tiny bit. But there was a little bit of gold in the Sacagaweas, believe it or not. For the businessman, the biggest downside to using coins is that they're heavier and bulkier. And they don't, I was going to say, no, I shouldn't, well, all right, they don't fit underneath the bikinis of strippers very easily. I wouldn't go there. Okay, back to the story. For the businessman, the biggest downside to using coins is that they're heavier and bulkier and therefore less convenient to carry and less cost effective to mass transport. So you'd be walking around going shing, 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 you know, you'd be clinking with these big coins. If you want a $10 bill, or $10 in coins, you would have to jump around quite a bit to keep them all juggling in your pants and keep you on balance, I suppose. Otherwise, something like that might cause problems. Anyway, back after the break, we'll talk some more about it.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Hey, neighbor, what are you doing digging? You had a heart attack last year.
Oh, I know. I was told no more hard labor.
Then why are you digging?
Well, I've been taking Extendivite. It's been approved to help my heart.
Extendivite? Is that a new drug?
No, not a drug. It's more like an herbal combination made from garlic and cayenne.
Herbal? How can that help?
Well, actually, we've taken herbs for thousands of years. Extendivite is doing the job for me.
Does your doctor know about Extendivite?
Yeah, my doctor knows, and he said it seems to be working for you, so don't stop taking it. I feel great taking Extendivite. I don't want to stop.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
If your home has hard water and it's leaving white spots, then it's likely that limescale is clogging your pipes. Limescale can cost hundreds of dollars a year in wasted energy and early appliance breakdown. HydroCare systems available at Wave Home Solutions prevent and remove limescale with just a simple filter change every 3 years. There are no salts, chemicals, or magnetic coils. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, just go to bestwater123.com. That's bestwater123.com.
If you're a talk radio fan, AccessRadio.net lets you listen to the best talk shows anytime and from anywhere. Works on your mobile or landline phone, and there's no cost if you have unlimited minutes. No need to use your data. Find your favorite talk show listen lines and discover new ones. Now you can listen on your schedule. Go to AccessRadio.net. That's AccessRadio.net. Save your favorite listen lines today.
Welcome back to Lightspeed here on a Monday. Thanks, friends, for joining us, and glad to have you along. Of course, we were talking about these coins and the argument as to why we don't put out more dollar coins or coins that we can use as dollars. Well, here's one of the big problems, of course. The real big problem, and I'll get to that, is that a dollar doesn't buy much anymore. And so carrying around a dollar coin is going to be very heavy, to be real honest with you. We need perhaps maybe a $50 silver coin. How about that? A $50 silver coin. Well, wouldn't it have to weigh at least an ounce? Well, one would think, and that's a pretty big coin. Maybe a $20 coin about the size of a quarter of its silver, right? Well, no, they could make a coin that is worth $20 and about the size of a quarter, but it wouldn't really be a value coin of $20. It'd be just something that says $20 on it, U.S. Mint or U.S. Government or United States of America, E Pluribus Unum, In God We Trust, with a stamp on it or something like that. You know, the reality is, obviously, that coins are a lot better to use in large denominations than they are in small dollars. And that's the point. You can't really get very far with carrying around silver dollars or any kind of dollars. Are going to be bigger than most coins, of course, especially if they're zinc or copper. You know what I mean? If they're silver plated, it might work a little bit. But, you know, they ought to go back to maybe using some silver in these coins to give them some value. And that way, perhaps, when they are 30 years old, those coins will be collectors and maybe still in circulation to some extent and still being used. But, no, we wouldn't want that, would we? Because if you have coins that have a lot of value, like let's say you had a $20 gold piece that you bought or that you had back in 1933 and you want to go somewhere with it and it's well worth $1,250, $1,260 today, I mean, it's kind of hard to use a coin like that today unless somebody is really going to be trading those kinds of things. And that's a pretty good sizable chunk of money. But what about a silver ounce for $50? Well, the problem is, you know, silver's only $16, $17 at max right now. And the reality is we cannot produce a silver ounce coin for $20 because we don't have the capability of mining and producing, refining, and stamping coins for the rate of what we're paying for silver right now. You just basically cannot come up with enough silver due to the fact that you can't run silver mines to get the silver out of the ground for less than $20 to $25 an ounce. Unless it's very, very rich, it's going to be very, very hard to get silver out coined at that rate right now at this point, because realistically, if they were to put out silver or pure silver dollars, or even 75% silver, because, you know, that would still be a sizable amount of silver in those coins. You're going to be looking at the cost of about $20 to $25 in production of that coin. So they're going to have to be worth more. They're going to have to be worth like $25, maybe $50 for coins like that. So the problem is, you know, we really can't do much with these coins, even dollar coins, okay? So they're just too heavy. For the businessman, according to this story, the biggest downside to using these coins is that they're heavier and bulkier and therefore less convenient to carry and less cost effective to mass transport. Changing to dollar coins would also force businesses and financial institutions to convert equipment to accept the new currency. I mean, you might want to buy something for 89 cents, and that means if you gave them a dollar coin, they'd have to give you 11 pennies back. Well, shoot, we don't want to have to do that. We don't want to have to take the time to actually count change. You know, instead of sticking your card in that thing, that beep, 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 and then you have to click the button five times and give them your phone number and all this kind of stuff. You know, I mean, it's absolutely absurd where they're going with currency. But the point is simply this, that they're really trying to steer us away from using coins. That's the real reason behind all this. Okay, so they're less cost effective to mass transport. They're changing the process of using dollar coins would also force businesses and financial institutions to convert equipment to accept a new currency. Really? Cha-ching? I thought there was this thing called the cash register that used to work pretty good for many years. And they say that would be a time and money consuming project, because people can't just use a machine to tell them what to do. You know, they can't even count change anymore, some of these people in these places. Well, you know, that's the situation, okay? Stop and think. Do you even have $1 coin in your possession? If you do, it's probably part of a coin collection. We'll be back after the break. Talk some more. Stay with us.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at herbalhealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA olive leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA elderberry power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit herbalhealer.com and click on the fall winter specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on. And learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendovite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendovite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and Extendovite is all natural. Extendovite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendovite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Welcome back to Lightspeed, everybody. You know, we are joined by somebody who, if you've listened to the show before, you may remember him. And he's not new to the show, but he's been away for a while, and his name is Etheric Dave. Etheric Dave, he's back. How you doing, Dave?
I'm not that much of a stranger, Steve. At least I hope not.
Yeah. Well, it kind of seems like it, you know, sometimes that I'm not blaming you. I know you're a busy guy, but.
Well, it is what it is.
It's good to have you back, my friend. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Hey, we're testing some new technology, trying to enhance our capabilities a little bit, and there may be some bugs, but we'll get all those worked out. I didn't actually expect to be able to go live with this today, so, you know, here I am. I am not using Skype, and that makes me so happy. No more Microsoft.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. I tried that out, too, and it's working really good, and we're looking at some good stuff here, and enhancing technology, and yeah, there'll be some bugs, you know, but it's, all in all, I'm kind of impressed with it. I haven't had a chance to, I think I'm still on the Skype as I see, but that's okay. We're going to work with it. It's good to have you logged in the way you are.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, I don't have to worry about Microsoft updates now. I did a lot of testing over the weekend with this, and it duplexes a lot better, and the audio quality was really good, and fairly low amount of bandwidth, actually. My bit rate now is 5.71 kilobyte a second. It's actually really low, but it's still pretty good quality, so how about that?
Yeah, see, and if you still are like me and you have an old Commodore 64 still online, you can even use it, right?
Oh, yeah. Now, the Commodore 64s were the bomb. I don't have my physical one anymore, although one of my friends does. And I found an archive of 134,000 different Commodore 64 applications. That's pretty much everything ever written for the platform. And it all totaled less than 7 gigabytes for every piece of software ever written for the platform. You can't install Windows on 7 gigabytes, so I think we're kind of going the wrong direction with the bloatware and all that, because, yeah, it wasn't as fancy as it could be, but for its day, oh my goodness, I mean, it was the bomb. And where I don't have the physical Commodore 64 anymore, I've got an emulator on my Linux. Hell, I've got a Commodore 64 sitting on my Android phone, so I could run all those applications, kind of nostalgic, you know, for all of that. That's all it is, because we have so much better stuff 25 years later, but hey, it is what it is.
Oh yeah, I mean, they were great machines for their time, and of course, you know, that was back when, you know, you could buy an IBM, I don't remember, wasn't the 486 or what was it, the 286 or something like that at that time, Dave, and they were
the
like
PCAT.
Yeah.
Because it started with the XT, which was an 8088. And you flip that thing on. It's like, okay, go get coffee, you know, walk around the block for a while. Well, the thing, you know, booted up and counted 640 kilobytes of memory. And what we have now is so much farther advanced than what we had then. But the computers really don't do all that much more. Yeah, it's a little fancier. It's prettier. We got more bells and whistles. But we're not doing that much more with it. Not in the logarithmic expansion of our computing capabilities, we aren't.
Not really. And I remember the Amiga series as well, which were...
Those were cool.
They were. And, you know, what I understood was that Commodore was actually so far ahead in technological applications that actually they took them off the market because the military wanted to develop that software protocol and all that kind of stuff. What happened? I mean, we knew that, you know, of course, the Japanese and people like that were adapting to them very quickly. And it seemed as if they basically ruined Commodore in order to give us what we have today.
Mm-hmm. Sad turn of events. The Amiga was such a awesome, pimp-tastic platform. Oh my goodness, Steve. I mean, that was just the cutting, bleeding edge of everything when they first came out with those.
Yeah, the toaster, they had the video toaster. We actually were using those. We were shooting Sony Beta video and editing them on Amiga editors, you know, and it was way ahead. I mean, Sony Beta video, we're talking about a $35,000 or $40,000 professional video camera, right there using like a $300, $400 editing system. You know what I mean? With the Amiga, you know, to edit all that stuff. It wasn't great, but it was working. You know, the toaster was working very well for us. One of the first really good video systems that was out at that time. You know, I mean, it was, you could basically interface it with your machinery if you wanted to, or you could do some digital storage, but you could put a lot of animation, all kinds of things through it. And, you know, it was amazing for what it was able to do.
Yeah. Hey, expensive isn't always better, because I have a whole suite of open source software on this Linux box. Everything from all sorts of audio processing, audio rendering, the graphic CGI stuff. I've got Blender. I've got every video editor out there. I've got, you know, like 100 different, you know, multimedia programs, and they're all freeware. If I wanted to do the same thing with Windows, I would be chucking out about $10,000 for the software. And it doesn't do as good as what this free open source stuff does. So, you know, scratch your head on that one. You know, expensive isn't always better.
No, it really isn't. And, you know, I got to be honest with you. I don't know whether it's me and my age or whatever it is, but I can tell you my biggest problem that I've had with a lot of the digital editing systems right here and now is the learning curve on them and the problems with them that I've had with just keeping up with the memory on that. Cause I had an old machine. It wasn't working right at all. And I got a editing program from a reputable company that you would think was reputable. And I put it on my machine, and it took me a long time to figure out that the software was junk, because I kept blaming myself because I couldn't use it. And finally I started reading reviews, and people were saying, you know, punt this thing. It is, and then, like, you know, the way it was set, well, I won't even go into it, but the way it was set up was designed by somebody who had no idea as to what you need to do to edit video. I come from the old days in tape, and when I was shooting news and when I was shooting sports, we would lay down the control track on the tape, and we would do everything with insert editing. So you would come back from some footage that you shot in the field, run in, put it on a machine, cut it, get it all set to go, and have it ready for air in probably less than 15 minutes if you had to do it. You know what I'm saying? And it was like, I'm sitting here 15 minutes in to just getting one function to happen on this computer programming, you know, and I'm going, what is wrong with this? This is incredibly frustrating. And I was, boy, I'll tell you, I had a lot of trouble. You know what I mean? Finally, I realized the editing package that I had was junk. And it was, even though it was put out by a reputable company, and I won't mention that company because you would think that this company puts out good stuff, but actually this thing was a piece of crap. And I got onto something else that was working a lot easier. And I know that, you know, Final Cut and programs like that for Mac are far better than anything that you can get, or just about the standard these days. But the point is simply this, that, man, I was so frustrated that I kind of gave up on trying to do any offline non-linear editing. And I just wished for the old days of tape again, because it was so much easier.
Keep it simple, stupid, you know? That's, yep. What they're not subscribing to, they overcomplicate it. You know, it's the same thing with, you know, trying to, you know, trade markets. They overcomplicate the hell out of everything. And it really is a fairly simple concept, and too many things get in the way. They end up being a distraction. I like the really streamlined software that does one function, and it does it very well.
Yep, that's right. And that's the way things go. And I mean, we've been talking about it, and it's not that I'm an old timer, friends, but we were talking about coins as usage for, you know, currency, coins, actual coins, and how now they're saying that's complicated because they don't have machinery to make change or anything like that. I mean, they want everybody on this plastic situation. They're moving everybody into...
We've been making coins for thousands of years, Steve. What did they do? Forget how to do it?
Right, yeah. It's not that they can't make the coins, it's just that they don't want us to use them is the problem, because then they can't track everything. We could have maybe two or three coins that are worth maybe $50 a piece in your pocket. You could go in, buy some gasoline, get everything you want, make your change there, walk out, You know, they don't want to do it that way anymore. They want us on a cashless society, and they want to keep everything moving ahead into this high-tech, techno-crap age that...
Yeah, they want to be able to rob you with the computers. That's what they want. They want to be able to rob you and make it really easy because you have to convert all your money to this electronic stuff that all we got to do is it click, click, click. Oh, you're broke now. You can't do anything about it.
Yeah, that's exactly where they're going. And, you know, this is, I think everybody sees that. We notice this is what they're up to. And, there is this big move as I was reading that story, you know, right before, the break there that, you know, a lot of people are talking about. There is a bill called the Currency or Optimization Innovation and National Savings Act. It's called the COINS Act. And, it's becoming very popular with a lot of people, but yet there's all these problems. Both political parties seem to agree that this bill would be a small way to save millions of dollars over the next several decades, a drop in the bucket compared to the necessary spending cuts to salvage the debt crisis, but a drop nonetheless. If the bill passes, you may soon need to upgrade the sizes of your coin purse. Then again, much of our society has already become nearly cashless, so changing the currency may not impact consumers and businesses as much as it would have a few decades ago, obviously. But as I was talking about, what if we had a $50 silver coin? You know what I mean? Where you could walk in and throw down, you know, your $50 coin and, get yourself a full tank of gas, a slushy, you know, a donut, and, maybe a swizzle stick or something like that.
Donuts.
And then they have to... Yeah, right. And they said, well, how do we give you your change? Do you have your credit card so we can we can credit you for money on your card? Because we don't actually have any money and we don't have anybody who knows how to count change in this company anymore, you know?
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah. I mean, when was the last time that you had a discussion with a clerk about a cost because it was already on your bill and you didn't even realize it until you got home and said, wait a minute, that's not even right at all. What happened here? You know, I mean, that's the automated world. And you know, what really bothers me about so many of these stores is you go in there, Dave, and you're going to make a transaction of some sort. And the clerk, as nice as they may be, is having trouble with machinery. And it's like the robot is telling her what to do. You know, put this thing in there. Let me reboot the whole system here. Let me click in and sign on and make sure I'm okay to do anything with the cash register, which there's no cash in, of course. But I mean, it's like you're sitting there and people are backed up and you've got to put in your user number and your customer friendly, discount number and all this other kind of stuff. And I mean, you're just standing there waiting on this machine to make everybody's decisions for them. And it's like, gosh, you know, you just get so frustrated with this system. I remember.
Yep. Good old days. And when the internet goes down and they have no connectivity for it, nobody gets to buy anything. You have to sit there and wait for it to come back. Oh, that's so much better.
Yeah, it's like what happened, I guess it was a week ago Monday when it rained and the wind blew and we lost power in this little quadrant of the area that I'm in. And I went over to try to make a payphone call. I couldn't find the payphone, but I couldn't even get into the store because they'd locked it up. There's no point in anybody being in there. They can't make any transactions with their cash register. So they just herded everybody out. The lights were off. And they had the clerk standing at the door saying, well, we're closed till the power comes back on. I mean, the whole store was shut down. That's the way things are. And they, like you said,
this
is where it's going
these days.
Yeah, that's where it's going. That's where it's going. Hey, we still got a little bit of time left and, phone lines are open for those of you on this Monday, 800-313-9443. Got some, interesting guests coming up. I think you had one that you mentioned and I don't know how, secure this situation is, Dave, but I'm looking forward to some of the people we've been talking about having on the show because we're having some interesting guests. That's really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I've got something interesting in mind, and as soon as it's confirmed, we will share it with everyone else. Until then, we'll keep you in suspense. It will definitely be very interesting, probably generate a little controversy, but, you know, hey, truth is truth, and that's what we're after here.
Yeah, we've had some really good guests who do provide some, you know, some very good, in my opinion, some very good information, you know. And sometimes it is controversial, sometimes it isn't. But we really do like to have people who are on here who raise your attention to specific things. And friends, you know, you're not always going to agree, but you might get some really good information from some people that you don't agree with, which is really cool because it opens up your information gate, cause you to do some analytical thinking, maybe look at some facts you haven't seen before. And that's really good because it works pretty well. I remember, Roger Spur and the Giants program. I mean, that was good. You know, that really got people. And I'm not sure I'm convinced. I still have his book, and I need to read a lot more that we might have him back on. But we have another potential guest who's a guy who's involved with MUFON and the UFO type people, right? And this has got some more interesting information. And I'm not crazy about all that stuff, but it's good to hear some of the people who are on the cutting edge of it and what they're coming up with right now. So that's,
Looking forward to that one so I can tear them a new one. I studied all that stuff, and hey, you know, it ain't happening. You know, it's government disinformation, but it is what it is. If there was actually aliens here and we had all this visitation and stuff, we'd have proof by now. You know, it's not this Bigfoot thing out there. There's nothing tangible to it. The mathematics that suggest that there is a vast universe full of life out there will also tell you that it is so far spread out that the likelihood of it finding us is like finding a single grain of salt in the middle of the Sahara Desert. It ain't gonna happen.
Well, there's probably nothing like us out there that's close by, that's for sure. And they'd have to use some form of, means of getting around, I think, if they were gonna actually, get from to and fro and find us here. Hey, we got Fred hanging in California. Do we got time? I think we're just about up on a break is the problem. Let's see,
At the break.
Yeah, we'll get back to Fred right after the break and, we'll see what he has to say. So friends, this is Lightspeed. We're on Monday through Friday. Steve Starrs here along with Etheric Dave. Glad to be with you. Glad to have the opportunity, the privilege, and the honor, as I say, of being on RBN and to talk to you guys. And, you know, if you don't got one of those shoddy potties, get out and get one. We'll have a right back after the break here on Lightspeed. Stay tuned.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is a public announcement. Be ready to copy down a website address at the end of this message. First off, a big thank you to people from Oregon, California, New York, Maine, Connecticut, Saskatchewan, Canada. People are logging on to landho.tv and they are purchasing land in the United States in sunny New Mexico for as low as $350 down and $99 a month. In 1 year, you own the land. These are usable parcels in a development that can only be worth more money in the years to come. Similar lots in the same development have sold for up to $15,000. So it really is a no-brainer. Visit landho.tv to purchase yours today via PayPal. Other mainstream investments are good, but they sit in a vault. Land remains a true investment that you can use while it can increase in value. Current land prices are already going up, and this commercial could be pulled at any time, so you must act fast, because when these properties are gone, they're gone. $350 down, $99 a month. Landho.tv. LANDHO.TV. Right now.
Welcome back, everybody. We have just one segment left here, and we're going to try to get to Fred in California. See if Fred is there. Fred, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Fred, what's happening?
Yeah. This digital stuff, well, I'm legally blind, not completely blind, but legally blind. How in the heck am I going to tell what change they're giving me? Blind people are going to get ripped off right and left at every single cash register.
You mean digitally you get ripped off or with the coins, you think?
Oh, yeah. It happens now.
Yeah. Wow. That's something to think about. So, yeah. Uh-huh.
So when they switched the digital cash, everybody with a disability is going to get ripped off. There's nothing you can do about it. It's the government's fault. So just remember that.
Okay. Hey, yeah, I'll keep that in mind. You know, I appreciate that. You know, how are you dealing with it right now?
I have what's called aphasia. I can see, but I can't make out what I see. Everything's backwards and upside down and everything else. So,
wow. Yeah.
So I handle the money, and I can tell by handling the money what I have.
Yeah.
But if they switch to digital, I'm screwed.
Wow. So, it's a bad situation for people like yourself. And, you know, I mean, what do they do now? Put in some kind of an audio chip or something like that? Or, you know, so that, you know, they tell
talking
you
money.
Talking money. Yeah.
Yeah. But the government never thinks about its citizens, so what's new?
Right, yeah. I mean, that's a tough call. I know, of course it is. And, you know, in the old days, of course, you know, you could actually, you could do things with dollar bills that would help people understand exactly what they're getting. And I think there were people who still took advantage of folks, you know, but the thing is, it was a lot easier to use. And, you know, it's another downside to the whole deal. You know, they don't care because whatever's convenient to them and whatever they can watch, whatever transaction they can monitor, whichever way they can control you to make sure you don't buy a pack of bubble gum without them knowing.
Whatever
about it.
Makes it easier for them to steal from us.
Well, what I was thinking, if a smart lawyer, if there's any decent ones left out there, could file a disability lawsuit against the government on this digital money on behalf of blind people.
Hmm. Yeah, there you go.
That's an idea.
Yeah, I'd sign up for that, of course. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, that would be very good, you know, and I think it would be, you know, I mean, since this is such a sympathetic, you know, we care about everybody's society, right? Huh? Yeah, on, yeah. Yeah, I think so, you know.
It's something to keep in mind, okay?
Yeah, I do appreciate it, Fred. Thank you so much, and great ideas. And you know, I'd say power to you, dude. You know, let's get on it. You know, let's do something like that. We might be able to find people like that that can work with folks like that. What do you think, Dave?
Yeah,
I think that's a wonderful idea. Hey, it's worth a try anyway, because that does leave them out in the cold, and that's just not fair. Not in these days.
Yeah, especially in the days when you're using coins, people like that could easily tell what they had, you know. You could buy that. You could bite a gold coin and know what it was, right? In the old days.
Yeah. I mean, you could even enforce them putting Braille on the coins. I mean, that works.
Yeah, people did that. I mean, they actually, they had their coins, they had their dollars and everything like that marked for them. All right, friends, it's been good. We will be back tomorrow on Lightspeed. Stay tuned to RBN. Dave, give us a send-off. How about
it? All right. Well, we'll be back tomorrow. Until then, stay safe, stay free.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free. F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
On the studio end. Can you guys dial a number? No? Come on. Yeah, because I want to make an impromptu call to what most people out there would consider to be your everyday American. You know, your everyday voting, intrigued member of the whole political process, which is very important. And by the way, if you don't vote, ladies and gentlemen, if you are one of those people out there that doesn't actually vote, you have no way whatsoever to justify bitching. That's right. If you don't vote, you can't complain. You just bend over and take what your slave masters give to you. Because unless you vote, then, well, you're not a part of the process, and you have no excuse to complain. You got that, slave? Ay, 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 ay. That sort of rhetoric is what we're dealing with. That sort of illogical, supposed logic is what we're dealing with, ladies and gentlemen. And this is the consensus, at least to a certain degree.